To be with you this morning, if you have a New Testament or a Bible, I invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It'll be the first passage that we will look at this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If I ask you to describe your spouse, how would you describe him or her? Or a child or your best friend? Some of those terms may be very flattering. And some may not. Some may just be brutally honest. But the fact is, we all have a lot of descriptive terms that will describe each and every one of us and what those are. And I think that we'll readily acknowledge that as the better that we know someone, the more we can really describe who they are and what they are. Whether it's their physical traits, their personality, their characteristics. I think the better we know our individuals in our lives, the more we can describe who they are. And the same thing is true with God's children. When we look through the Scriptures, as we open up the Bible, and we look at the Scriptures, we see a lot of descriptive terms for children of God. We see a lot of terminology that would describe the children of God, or just terms for children of God. Child of God is one of those terms. We are in a family with God, we have brothers and sisters in Christ. God is our Father. So we understand that relationship that we have. A disciple is another descriptive term of a child of God. Simply a learner or a follower. We have a servant. We are either Christ's servant or we're Satan's servant. We get to pick. We get to choose whose servant we are. A pilgrim, a sojourner. We are here temporarily. We are a spiritual being having a physical experience. Those are some terms that we can use to describe children of God. And there's many more. And we can actually take most of those terms and do some studies out of those. This morning we are going to pick a term that we see throughout the Scriptures. And that's the term of a saint. And we're going to look at a few passages and see if we can draw some conclusions from the writers of the New Testament and how they describe or what they describe as a saint. I have a few passages on the screen for your viewing pleasure. First one is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. It says, "To the church of God which is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all who are in every place, call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours." Philippians chapter 1. In verse 1, it says, "Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons." Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus." Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 21, it says, "Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those in Caesar's household." Romans chapter 8, verse 27. "And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 10, it says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality." And then Romans chapter 15, starting in verse 26, it says, "But now I am going to Jerusalem, serving the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem." Some of these passages that we have just looked at and just briefly read and quickly read, they all have saint or saints in them, and some of them had them in there multiple times. Paul is writing to Christians. He is writing to individuals. He is writing to New Testament Christians, those who are following Christ. But if you ask those in the religious world today, they would say that it's probably not a term to describe children of God. We simply see this oftentimes, the word saint, being someone who is dead, someone who is no longer living. We see a saint as someone who had great acts of kindness, provided miracles. So we see a lot of things that in the religious world tell us about saints. But what can we observe from what we've just read? Is that saints was something that Paul was writing to. He wasn't writing to dead individuals, right? He was writing to people that were alive. He wasn't writing to people that would probably had been able to provide miracles. As the religious world today would say, you have to provide one or two miracles, perform those miracles to be a saint. Most of those individuals would not have been people that were performing miracles. So he's writing to these individual Christians and he's calling them saints. He wasn't writing to perfect people. If you think, well, okay, well, that individual is a saint, you simply say that is a perfect individual. Well, as Paul is writing to Christians, these were not perfect people. Well, what is a saint? Saint is, it's the same word we get the word holy. Set apart. We see some of that terms in the Old Testament we'll look at here briefly. But that's what a saint is, someone who is set apart for the service of God. A few in the Old Testament, in Psalm 106, in verse 16, Aaron is called a saint. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron the saint of Jehovah. So we see a saint being ascribed to Moses' brother Aaron. And then it's also described to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 33. It said, "The Lord came from Sinai and dawned on them from Seir. He shone forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000 of saints from his right hand. Came a fiery law for them. Yes, he loves the people. All his saints are in your hand. They sit down at your feet. Everyone receives your word." So saint here in this Old Testament passage is describing the children of Israel. These are worshipers in Psalm chapter 30. In verse 4 it says, "Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name." So these Old Testament worshipers were called saints in this time as well. We also see the faithful in Psalm 31, verse 23. "O love the Lord, all you His saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person." So those that are faithful, the Old Testament times, they were referred to saints as well. And then finally, the fearful. In Psalm 34, verse 9, it says, "O fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him." Once again, these are individuals who were still alive. These are individuals who were set apart for certain reasons. They were holy. There were some righteousness that was involved here. And we see some holy things in the New Testament as well. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 5, it's described as a holy city. And this is when Jesus is taken to be tempted, and that's described as a holy city. Matthew 24, verse 15, is described as a holy place. It goes back to Daniel chapter 9, where it's describing as a holy place. Acts chapter 7, verse 33, is holy ground. This is the time where God spoke to Moses and He said, "This is holy ground." 2 Peter 1, verse 18, this is describing back at the Transfiguration, where it's a holy mountain. So there are a number of terms that we see throughout the Scriptures who are talking about setting apart and the sanctification. These were holy because somehow they were set apart from God. When we looked at the temple, that was a holy place. They came in to worship God in that holy place. The things that were involved with the temple, the furniture in the temple, those were holy as well. And the priests that served the temple in Leviticus 21 were holy unto the Lord because they were set apart in His worship. These were holy places. They were holy individuals. Similar fashion, the nation of Israel was considered a holy nation in Exodus 19 and Deuteronomy 7, as they were a special people. They were set apart for the Lord's service. We looked at a number of instances for members of the local church. They were set apart, or they were called saints as well. We looked at 1 Corinthians and Ephesians, but also in Acts chapter 9, said that Ananias answered the Lord and said, "I have heard by many of this man how much evil he had done to the saints at Jerusalem. So this is describing of Paul or of Saul at that time, what he was doing to the brethren in Jerusalem. Those were saints. These were members of a local group of Christians. These were Christians, a local church. In Romans chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ." So we've seen a number of examples here of individuals or items or places that were considered holy, because they were set apart for a certain reason. They were set apart for God and His service. Well, when we think about setting apart, have the idea of sanctification, becoming a child of God, how do we do that? Well, we see that through baptism. It's 1 Corinthians, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 9, it says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, and you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." So he's describing here the process of how they were set apart by the washing of their sins away, having that regeneration. They go from one kingdom to the next. They go from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. They're translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And they did that through baptism. And in Acts chapter 22, in verse 16 it says, "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." So Paul is describing a group of individuals here who are set apart. They have come out of sin, they have come out of the world, and they are set apart for His service. They're set apart. They are Christians. They are now considered saints, or now they are discussed as being saints. And we see that through His Word. Another way that we are set apart, another way that we are sanctified, is through the Word of God. We see this in John chapter 17. John chapter 17 and verse 17, it says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth." So the Word of God is going to set us apart. It's going to set us apart with our behavior, with our actions. It's going to separate us from mankind because of the righteousness that we should be living. That's what the Word of God will do for us. It is holy and it is righteous, and it changes our lives if we will let it. In James chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and low overflow of wickedness, and receive the meekness of the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls." That's what's going to judge us in that last day, is the Word of God. So how familiar are we with the Word of God? Do we have it in our heart every day? Do we study it? Do we think about it? Do we meditate on it? Is it something that we do periodically? How important is the Word of God? The Word of God is going to set us apart today and for eternity. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 22, says, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is of grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass, and the grass withers, and its flowers falls away. But the Word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the Word by which the Gospel was preached to you." So when we learn of God's will, when we believe God's Word, and we obey it, what does that do for us? It calls us to be separate from the world. We're saints. We're children of God. And we're involved in righteousness and righteous living. So, what does that mean for us? It means there's expectations for us from God. When we look at His Word, there's expectations for us from our brethren as well. And we learn that from His Word. what else does it mean when we're set apart? Well, we do that. We're set apart with our character. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 1, says, "Finally, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and please God. For you know what the commandments were we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality." So as he's telling those in Thessalonica here, you should be different. You should transform your life. And you do that by learning what we're telling you. Stay away from these sins. Have a better character. And when we become children of God, that changes us, or it should change us. We become children of the Lord. We walk away from the evil. And we try to stay away from the evil. And sometimes we will mess up. How do we fix that problem? We get into the Word and figure out what we've done wrong. And we make corrections in our lives. We should want to be holy because God is holy. The people of God are holy. They are set apart. They are sanctified. They are transformed from one kingdom to the next. 1 John chapter 2, we have that moral transformation that takes place when we become children of God. 1 John chapter 2 says, verse 15, "Do not love the world nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." Verse 17 said, this world is passing away. All of these things, these fleshly desires that we have, all these temptations that we have, they're temporary, they don't last very long, and they hinder our relationship with God and with our brethren as well. But becoming Christians and being sanctified, as we're set apart as saints in His kingdom, our character should change. And we do that through His Word. Is it easy? No, generally it's not easy to do that. It takes work and it takes effort on our behalf. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." He tells us that we're a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, they would periodically would sacrifice. Today, as we are Christians, we are living beings, and we're continuously making living sacrifices every day because of our service to the Lord. And He tells us to be holy. Back in verse 2, it says, don't look like the world. Change when you become children of God. Change into something better. Change into what the Lord expects from us. Be sanctified. Be set apart. In Galatians chapter 5, in verse 19, this is the works of the flesh. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, which I tell you beforehand. Just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Do you know Christians who are involved with these kind of things? They've not changed their character. They don't have the upright character, what God expects from them. He said, you're doing these things. These are works of the flesh. This is what's hindering you from being obedient like you should be. This is keeping you from the Lord. Fix those things. 2 Corinthians 6 talks about cleansing our lives. And we should do that. We should remove the defilement that's involved in our lives. And if God is going to dwell in us, we must cleanse ourselves from all the defilements of the flesh. So we have to do a lot of self-evaluations to determine if we're living that righteous life. And finally, through moral living. Remember 2 Timothy chapter 3. Mentioned a few minutes ago about how important the Word of God is and what it can do for us and what it will do for us in that day. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, In verse 16, it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." It's going to convict us of our sin. It's going to tell us what we need to do to change our lives. We're going to make corrections in our lives. It may come from the outside, but it certainly should come from the inside. How we correct those things in our lives, and how do we know what we should correct? So we're going to wait on somebody to tell us? Well, maybe that's what it takes. But if we're studying that Word is truly implanted in our hearts, and in our minds, and in our lives, we will make those corrections. The Scriptures does not leave us convicted of sin. Rather, it straightens us out. So it's for reproof, it's for correction, it's for instruction in righteousness. It tells us how to fix the wrong. And that's what the Bible is about. That's what Jesus came for, was fixing the problem of sin. Are you a saint today? If you're a New Testament Christian, you are a saint. As Paul was writing to those many saints, and he addressed those as saints then, the same thing is applicable for us today. Someone says, "Are you a child of God?" Yes. "Are you a saint?" What would you answer? How would you answer? Because the world has such a thought process on what a saint is. But what we looked at today is simply as a saint is an individual who is a child of God, who is living morally right, who is being set apart, who is sanctified, who has set themselves apart for the service of God, and is living that moral and righteous life. You don't have to be dead to be a saint, although once you're dead, you will be a dead saint. But you don't have to wait till then to be a saint. That's our lesson this morning. We can assist you in any way by your walk with the Lord. We're going to invite you to come as we stand and sing a song of encouragement.